Welcome to the Beacon Broadcast from Beacon Baptist Church in Burlington, North Carolina, featuring expositional Bible teaching by Pastor Greg Barkman. If you'd like to correspond with the Beacon Broadcast, or if you wish to support this radio ministry, write to the Beacon Broadcast, Post Office Box 159, Alamance, North Carolina, 27201, or find us on the web at beaconbaptist.com. BeaconBaptist.com. The Beacon Broadcast is supported in part by the gifts of faithful listeners. Now, with today's message from God's Word, here is Greg Barkman.
Well, we have come now to the fourth and concluding section of Paul's Epistle to Philemon, Section 1, Salutation, verses 1 through 3. Section 4, Giving of Thanks, verses 4 through 7. Section 3, Main Body, verses 8 through 22. And then finally, Section 4, The Conclusion, verses 23 through 25. In this closing section, Paul does what he does in a number of his epistles, namely, names a number of his co-workers and extends greetings from them. I'm not only writing to you, Philemon, from Rome, but I have others here with me as well, and they would like to extend their greetings to you. And so Paul does that, and in doing so, he informs us of some of the people who are partners with him in the ministry. Christians have long been intrigued by the ministry of the Apostle Paul, as well we should. We are curious about, well, just how he was able to do so much for the cause of Christ. What kind of man was he to be so fruitful, so effective? How did he accomplish so much in such a short period of time? It really is remarkable when you look at that closely. And thankfully, the Bible gives us answers to most of these questions. But part of the answer is to recognize the people who assisted Paul. And we should be interested in them as well. I don't know if I should say equally interested, because, of course, Paul was an outstanding person. He was an amazing person and unique in so many ways. But one of his strengths was that he never worked alone. He always worked in teams. He was effective at recruiting, training, and utilizing others. And the list of Paul's co-workers is a long, long list, and we don't know a great deal about many of these people, but when we have opportunity to learn something about them, I think we should seize the occasion. And one of those opportunities is before us now in the closing verses of Philemon. As Paul extends greetings from several of his ministry partners in Rome. So that's what we're going to do, is explore these lives and the lessons which they teach us. Thank you for joining me on this Wednesday, December 13, and many thanks to those whose financial gifts keep us teaching God's Word on this station. Philemon, verses 23 and 24. Paul says, Epaphras, my fellow prisoner in Christ Jesus, greets you, as do Mark, Aristarchus, Demas, Luke, my fellow laborers. Five of Paul's co-workers are here named. It takes a team to accomplish what the Apostle Paul accomplished. He wants us to understand that. That's why he includes these names. God wants us to understand that. That's why the Holy Spirit guided Paul to include these names. And so here they are. So what is the purpose of greetings like this that we find in so many epistles? They are very frequent. They're actually found in 8 of Paul's 13 epistles, lists like this one, in Romans and 1 and 2 Corinthians, Philippians, Colossians, 2 Timothy, Titus, and Philemon, the one we're studying now. In fact, a list of partners, co-workers, extending greetings is absent only in 5 of Paul's epistles, namely Galatians, Ephesians, 1 and 2 Thessalonians, and 1 Timothy. So they are far more frequent than not. There are more epistles by several, quite a few more that include them, than those that do not. What can we infer from that? Well, we can refer that greetings like this are not essential because they aren't in all 13 of his epistles. They are not essential, therefore, to the first century epistolary format that Paul followed in his letter writing, nor are they essential to a Pauline epistle. An epistle can be authentically Pauline or Pauline without having a closing greeting of a list of people as we find here. But we also learn by the fact that they are found in more epistles than not that greetings are significant. Significant enough to be included in 8 of Paul's 13 epistles. But what could be the reason for their inclusion? It could, on the one hand, simply be courtesy on the part of the Apostle Paul. Paul is writing, his co-workers in Rome know he's writing to Philemon. He may simply be complying with requests of teammates in 8 of the epistles who said, please extend a greeting for me, like we do. We know somebody's going to someplace else to visit people that we know as well, and we say, tell so-and-so hello for me. We do that frequently, don't we? I wonder how often, when we agree to do that we remember to do that. I'm afraid there are times when I have forgotten, to my shame. But I try to do that. I try to do that when I come to the person that I'm visiting. I say, by the way, so-and-so sent their greetings. I try to be faithful to do that. And Paul may simply be following that pattern. He's extending a simple courtesy on the part of those who want to be remembered, but the doctrine of inspiration requires that something greater is in view here. It can't be simply a personal request by Epaphras and Mark and Aristarchus and Demas and Luke to be included and to extend their greetings, because God is the author behind all of this. This is his word. He's included this for a greater purpose. And what could that be? Well, since we're not told, I can only speculate, but allow me to do that for a moment. I think it is for the purpose of strengthening ties of fellowship across a long distance through communication, which is important, through information about these men, which is important, through accountability, others who are watching Philemon. All of this is important. Do you get my drift? Do you understand what I'm saying? How do we strengthen ties of fellowship across a distance? The same way Paul did. One way is by communication. Thankfully, in our day, that's easier than it was in Paul's day. But we are grateful to labor with a number of missionaries in all different parts of the world. And what a privilege that is. And part of that means that we must have some level of communication with them. If we are in partnership with them, then we need to hear from them. They need to hear from us. Most missionaries understand that. Most missionaries are very faithful in sending out what we used to call prayer letters. They still are prayer letters, I suppose. They write to their supporters and tell them what's going on in the ministry and usually include a few specific items for prayer. But I say we used to call them prayer letters because now they often come by means of an email, but I don't suppose technically that makes them no longer a letter. It's just a letter that comes electronically rather than by snail mail. But yes, we need to get that kind of communication in order to have true partnership, which is one of the words, one of the translations of the word that is often translated fellowship. We are in fellowship with these people. We are in partnership with these people. We are in a tie of koinonia with these people, and that requires some level of communication. I'm not the kind of pastor who does this, but I know pastors who, if they don't get a communication from a missionary on a regular basis and after admonishing him and telling him that they do really expect communication on a more regular basis, and the missionary still does not comply. I know pastors that will ask their churches to discontinue support to that missionary. We can't be in partnership with somebody who will not communicate with us. I say I'm not one of the kinds of pastors who does that. I suppose I'm not saying it's legitimate or illegitimate. I think there is a level of legitimacy to that. I really do. I think it's an obligation. To have any kind of meaningful partnership, you've got to have communication. So communication is important, and communication involves information. That's what's involved in communicating. The missionary tells his supporting churches what's going on with him and his family, personal information, with the ministry that he's involved with, ministry information. Sometimes it's important to include information about the country in which he lives. Political information can be very important. And that's necessary. And all of this involves a certain kind of accountability. The missionary considers himself accountable to the churches that support him. His greatest level of accountability is to his sending church. He only has one of those. And that's his primary level of accountability. But yes, there is a legitimate level of accountability to all of his supporters, supporting churches, and even supporting individuals. And godly missionaries and wise missionaries will recognize that. And after all, what is Paul? He is a missionary. That's right. And so in writing letters like this, this is exactly what he's doing. He is communicating with others. He's passing on information to others about himself and his ministry. He's making himself accountable on some level with others. He who was an apostle, to whom all of these were accountable to him, and yet he makes himself accountable to them. You see, the Bible emphasizes fellowship among believers. The Bible emphasizes that. Do you emphasize that in your life, in your practice of Christianity? Do you have as much concern for true Christian fellowship as the Bible indicates that you should have? But beyond the purpose of these greetings, I think we could be benefited by a general evaluation of these greetings. And as we look at this list of men in Philemon, we realize that there are five people, five names, five men with Paul in Rome as he wrote. All of these five are also named in the epistle to the Colossians, which is a epistle closely connected with this one to Philemon. However, Colossians has six names rather than five. One is omitted that is found in Colossians, and that is Jesus Justus, and we don't know why. He may have departed from Rome before Philemon was written. He may have been unknown personally to Philemon. All these others may have been known, but he may not have been known. We really don't know why Paul names these five plus one in Colossians and only these five in Philemon. But nevertheless, these are important people to know about in the life of the Apostle Paul. And so we are going to look at them more carefully as we return, Lord willing, tomorrow for another edition of the Beacon Broadcast. I trust you'll join me then. Until then, this is Greg Barkman, Bible teacher on the Beacon Broadcast, pastor of Beacon Baptist Church in Burlington, North Carolina. Thankful for the opportunity of teaching God's Word both in pulpit and by radio. Thankful for those who support me in this work. Until tomorrow, Greg Barkman saying good day. May God give you His eternal peace.